We're very pleased at this time to continue our study of the book of Proverbs. We're in the 12th chapter and still on the 25th verse. This is our second lesson on the 25th verse of this 12th chapter of Proverbs. And this verse reads like this: Heaven is in the heart of man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And we showed in our last lesson how that the word heaviness means anxiety. The word stoop means depression. So anxiety in the heart or anxiety in the mind causes depression. And the good word that makes it glad is the Word of God. And we're showing the various things that the Word of God teaches us that helps to prevent anxiety and depression, things which actually lend toward good mental health. All of the teaching of the Bible, every instruction that we have in the Bible, is something that is designed to give us better mental health. And in our last lesson, we were discussing one of the aspects of this teaching, which is love. To have love as taught in the Bible is a major step toward having good mental health. Now, the definition of love is that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and that's according to Romans 13, verse 10. To work no ill to your neighbor means you do not do harm to another person. Your neighbor is anyone with whom you have to do. Whether it be a close relative, it can be your husband or your wife or your child or your mother or your father or your brother or your sister. It can be someone you've only met one time and they're like a stranger to you. It can be your next door neighbor. It can be someone you work with, someone you go to church with. It doesn't matter. Whoever the neighbor is, you work no ill. You do not do any harm to that person. And in our society, we many times mix the true definition of love with the world's definition of love. The world looks upon love as being an emotional feeling. If you have a strong emotional attachment to someone or something, that's what the world calls love. But that's not necessarily true at all. Love is not an emotional feeling. Love is an intelligent act. And you have to have knowledge about what God's will is to know even how to love. Know how not to work ill to someone else. You may think that by having a sexual relationship with your neighbor's wife is love between you and that woman, but actually that's not love at all. That's just an emotional feeling, and that is actually doing harm to her. You're sinning. You're causing her to put her soul in jeopardy with God. That's not an act of love. That's an act opposite of love. Love works no ill. And so the things we do when we're motivated by love are things that will not bring about harm to anyone else. You may think that you can let your child get away with abusing you and sassing you and doing something that he shouldn't be doing because you just love him so much you don't want to chastise him. But you're actually doing harm to the child by not chastising them, and that is not love at all. That's just an emotional feeling you have for the child. Love will demand that you do what's best for the child and not do the child any harm, and that's going to be to give him proper chastisement when he needs to have it. So we need to know what the definition is. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. If I'm doing something that's going to bring about harm to someone else, that is not an act of love. And we learned in our last lesson that we have to keep God's commandments or we don't have love. Jesus said in John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So by breaking one of the commandments of God, you're actually trying to do harm to God, so that's not love. You're doing something that would harm God. If God could be harmed, you're trying your best to harm him by not keeping his commandments, so that is not love. So this is the basic definition. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And the Bible gives us some of the results of having this love. We've already said it's going to give you good mental health. You can have a much better mental attitude if you have this attitude of not doing harm to someone else than if you have the attitude of having to or wanting to somehow or other bring about harm to another person. In Colossians 3, 5 through 15, let's notice how the Apostle Paul words this, and these are things that are actually going to be the result of having love. He says, Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Fill the communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now that is a long passage, but it has a world of information for us. If we're going to have the proper mental attitude, if we're going to have the frame of mind that's going to be the best one to prevent anxiety and depression, if we're going to have the peace and security that we want to have, if we're going to have this attitude of love, we need to know this teaching right here in Colossians 3, 5-15. He says mortify. The word mortify means to put to death. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. The passions and desires that this fleshly person is born with, we have them upon this earth, those are things we need to control and to actually put these to death. And the first one he names is fornication. That's having sexual relations with somebody that you shouldn't have sexual relations with. Somebody that's not your husband or your wife. That's what that means. Fornication. Uncleanness. Any kind of filth, anything that's not pure and holy, uncleanness. Inordinate affection, that's the wrong kind of affection, and that's going to include homosexuality. Evil concupiscence, those again are evil thoughts, evil doings, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are things we don't need to have any of. Never, ever do we need any of those things in our life. He says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. That's the very thing that brings God's wrath on the children that he calls the ones that are disobedient. Those are the things that are going to put our soul in jeopardy. Not just poor mental health. It's going to put our soul in jeopardy. In the which, he says, you also walked in sometimes when you lived in them. You used to live in these things. You used to do these. All of us used to be guilty of some of these things. Maybe not all of these things, but some of these things. And maybe some of us guilty of all of these things. But any of these things are going to put you in a state of jeopardy. He says, but now put you also off all these. Not just those basic things like fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, and covetousness. Put off these also: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Fill the communication out of your mouth. We know that we're not to have anger. Anger is definitely something that we're going to cause us to have a wrong frame of mind. And wrath, that's closely connected with anger. Malice, wanting to do somebody harm. Blasphemy, that's going to be teaching things that you shouldn't teach. Teach things that are opposed to God. Fill the communication out of your mouth. Just using filthy language. Your father says, lie not one to another. Don't tell lies. You have no reason ever to tell anybody a lie. The book of Proverbs is filled with proverbs against lying. And so lie not one to another. And have put on the new man. You put off the old man with all his deeds. You now have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. We're now going to be like God, have the knowledge of God, and be in the image of God, and try to follow the things that are compatible with God. For there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's no partiality here. Everybody's equal here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. You're going to be forgiving to other people. Kindness. You're going to be kind and gentle rather than be harsh and be ugly and harm someone. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. You're going to think of other people better than you instead of you being better than they. You're going to remove all the haughtiness from your life. Humbleness of mind. And here again, we're talking about mind now, the thing that is going to have the good mind, the mind that's free from mental illness, the mind that's free from anxiety and depression. That's a humbleness of mind. Meekness. Meekness is holding what you know to be right, but not being forward with it, not being overbearing with it. But yet you're not moved, but you're not overbearing to someone else. Long-suffering. You're patient with people. Long-suffering. Give them time. Forbearing one another. Another way of being patient. Forgiving one another. Don't hold grudges. Get rid of these problems that you have. Forgive when somebody else does something wrong to you. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. If there's a quarrel there, get into the state of forgiveness. And above all these things, put on charity. That's that love we're talking about. Above all the other things you can do, have the love. This, he says, is the bond of perfectness. You want to be perfect? That's the bond that brings all the perfect things together. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Here again, we're talking about the heart, the mind. Have peace in your heart. Have peace in your mind. This we're talking about to prevent anxiety and depression. This is to prevent mental illness. This is the way to have the good mind. Have the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Well, Romans 12, verse 7 also talks along this line. He says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, we're talking about love here and what love does for us. Love will promote the state of peace. Love will not promote the state of war. Love will not promote quarrels and friction and bad feelings and trying to get even with each other. Love is going to be something where you do not return evil for evil. And as much as possible, live peace with all men. That's our first thing. Let's try to have peace with all men. Regardless of who they are, peace with all men. And as we follow this teaching of love, it gives us tremendous ability to have good mental and physical health. That's what we're talking about in this whole proverb. The ability to be free from anxiety and depression. Now, another great principle that we read about in the Word of God that we can use to have good mental health is that we should learn to pray instead of worry. It is God's will that we learn not to worry. When we pray to God, this relieves our need to have excessive worry or anxiety. The Bible plainly tells us how not to have excessive anxiety. We're told that we can keep our minds through Jesus Christ. We see from the Scriptures that all aspects of good mental health are dependent on following the principles of Christianity. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're talking about keeping the heart, keeping the mind, keeping the thinking part of the body, the brain. We're talking about keeping it into a healthy state. And one of the ways here is, he says, be careful for nothing. And what this really means is, do not have excessive anxiety. Be able to control how much you worry about things. Do not be overwrought with worry and care. But rather than have this excessive anxiety, he says, in everything, nothing too small, nothing too great, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer, we know what prayer is. That's going to God. That's having a conversation with God, where you're talking to God. You're telling him what your problems are. You're asking for forgiveness. You're giving him thanks. You're asking for his blessings, and so on and so on. Supplication is a little bit deeper, more fervent kind of prayer. This is where you really are in some kind of strait, and you really do want some help for this thing. This is really more serious for you, the supplication. And then by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Always put thanksgiving with your prayer. God expects thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, let your requests be made known to God. Go to God in prayer. And he says, this peace of God, which is what we want, which passeth all understanding. I mean, we don't even understand how God can give us this kind of peace. All the rest of the world is in a turmoil. we can have a peace that other people can't even understand. We don't understand all of it ourselves, but we have it, which passes understanding. It'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what we want. Keep my heart and my mind. I want my mind. I may have other things go bad about my body, but the thing I want to keep the most is my mind. I want to have peace of mind. I want to have a good mind. And he says this is the way to do it. So we're instructed to use these principles of God, these principles that are given in God's Word, to free ourselves from the attitudes of the world which cause anxiety and depression. This invitation is open to all. In Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now that's an invitation to all of us. Come unto him. He says, all that labor and are heavy laden. That includes all of us. And none of us can say, well, I don't have to do any work. I don't have any kind of a load to carry. I'm perfectly free of all obligations. No, that includes all of us. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Believe in him. Follow his commands. Obey the gospel. Be added to the Lord's church. Be one of his followers. That's what he's saying. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That is, you take the burden that's put on you by being a Christian. That's going to be a load now you have to carry, but you can do it. We're made to do that. Take my yoke. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm easy to learn about. There's nothing really highfalutin here. You have to know to learn about me. I'm easy to find out about. And you should find rest under your souls. That's what we want. Rest under our souls, our heart, our mind. Rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's something to bear, all right. It's going to be a way of life. It's going to be certain beliefs about things that the world doesn't even know about. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your activities. But it's really easy and it's really light compared to the other way of going without his yoke. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, Peter words it like this. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He further says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's just like what we read a while ago about be careful for nothing, but in everything make your requests known to God. Cast all your care upon him. Whatever your care is, however small it is, however large it is, however tragic, however unfathomable it may be, cast it upon him that he may exalt you in due time. There's coming a time when he's going to exalt you. He cares for you. Your day's coming. Your time's coming when you're going to have success. You're going to have salvation. You're going to have relief from this thing here in the world, and you're going to be given the home in heaven. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So we don't have to exalt ourselves. We don't have to have pride and show how good and how great we are and brag on ourselves. Humble. Come under the hand of God. Practically a nobody, so to speak. And God will exalt you in due time. The time's coming when you are going to be exalted. Put your care upon him. He cares for you. Again, we have in Romans 8, verse 31 through 39, the Apostle Paul giving us some more good information here. He said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here the Apostle Paul is naming all the things that can be named that might come between us and God. Physical things, mental things. He even quotes that Old Testament gives a prophecy that we're, for thy sake, we're killed all the day long. We're like sheep for the slaughter. But none of these things are going to separate us from the love of God. The only thing that can separate us from the love of God is ourselves. We can turn. We can go back into the world like Demas did and forsake the good things. We have that choice all the time. We're free moral agents. But nothing external can come between us and God if we simply do not allow it to happen. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now that is designed to give us good mental health. That's designed to show us that we always have help at our side. God is always there. And this, of course, is a great, great comfort to us. Let us take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. This is what's going to cure our anxiety and depression. We close our lesson at that point. Next time we'll continue in this 25th verse of Proverbs chapter 12. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.